Lord Jesus, we have nothing we could offer you. There is nothing in us that's any good, of any value. You are the only thing that is good. We confess it. Even if the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't, we confess that you are good and you do good. There's only one that is good, that is God, and you are God. Lord Jesus, may your word speak to our hearts. Set us free from stupid thoughts, preconceived notions, culture shocks. May tonight your word give us wisdom to make those that are simple, wise. Those that are foolish, smart. Those that are lost, found. Baptize us in your spirit, God, that your word would be revealed to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. 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 In the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, before we get even to reading that, I want us to go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I want to read to you verse 1 through 7 so that we understand what the book of Proverbs is for. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And then the key verse, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Back to chapter 3, please. Proverbs, enigmas, words of the wise, riddles. That is what the book of Proverbs is all about. The vast majority of what we read will fall into the category of one of those four. And for us to understand these things will take us from one level. You might be not book smart. You might be here and you might have a hide tan from the sun because you've been working outside all your life. You might have hands like a bricklayer. You might have a broken body from moving things around. You might be one of those people who did not fare well in school. You didn't like authority figures. You didn't understand books. You might have a learning disability. You might have experiences that took you out of school. You might have real reasons. You're in good company. I'm one of those people. Barely graduated high school. Graduated 6 months late. Didn't have a really outstanding average. We called it average back then. Now I guess they call it GPA. So I never got a chance to go to college. I had no college opportunity. Zero. My parents didn't push it on us, and colleges weren't anxious to get me. And seeing as how good I did in high school, it's no wonder. You guys understanding me? The book of Proverbs is the best college you got. And if you will commit yourself to understanding these proverbs, these words of the wise, these enigmas, these riddles, then all of the doors that are before you that at one time were closed will seem to open. Let me put a caveat in there. As much as it depends upon you. God opens some doors and closes other doors. But some doors he gives you the wisdom and the strength to go through. Some doors are building blocks. You sit down for a job interview, and how you communicate with the person that's in front of you will dictate whether you get that job or not. The foolishness of kids, don't understand, might not want a job to begin with. They might not understand. And they might say foolish things and do foolish things. As somebody who interviews people every single week for work, sometimes you just shake your head. Whew. But it works not only for that person, it also works for the guy doing the interview. You might be a boss here. You might be college educated. You might have gained a position through book smarts, But nobody taught you how to read people, to see diamonds in the rough, to look past short sleeves, tattoos, to look past prison sentences. Somebody might not have taught you that. Well, you're in luck also. The words of the wise and their riddles, the enigmas, they're for you also. With that thought and that understanding and that opportunity, let's read. Chapter 3, the book of Proverbs, my son. Now, real quick, you will see that about a dozen times. Every other proverb, my son, listen to me, my son, my son, my son. The word for son, exchangeable. It could be daughter also. So ladies, don't take it personally that they use the word my son. Remember, and this is ready, this is your first lesson in understanding that you are not the center of the universe. Some words in languages exist in a different form and meaning than they do in the language you speak. In some languages, you say Mr., but it also means Mrs. Some people, you say people, and it means man and woman. Now, in English, we have different vernacular. We could say, excuse me, ma'am. I am not a ma'am. Didn't mean I'm by it. Dude looked like a lady. Well, I grew up, guys, in the 70s and 80s. And if you would have seen me in 1985, 86, and 87, I had long tresses of hair that went down to my waist. Sorry. And from behind, I was a thinner dude at the time. One might have expected me to be a woman. And I wore my hair kind of in my face. And if my face was down, I didn't have the manliest of features at the time. The world has made me severe. Scowl. I've developed 3 lines in the center of my head. Might have thought I was a chick. Does that word offend anybody? That was a word from back then. So here's the point. Please, let's release all of those things now. When it says my son, sister, let it say my daughter to you. Okay, let's not, well, that's why I don't like the Bible. Women were possessions back then. Let it go. Let it go. If there is anybody who did more for the sake of feminism than the Lord Jesus, he hasn't walked the earth yet. God did more to set women free from every bound, every chain, everything that a woman was faced with, the Lord Jesus set them free from. Please remember that. My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. If you don't know this, when you see the word law, literally that is just another word for Old Testament scriptures. It was called the law. Specifically in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt. There's a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalls. And here, Solomon was trying to explain to his kids, listen, don't lose reading the Bible and obeying. It will save you so much aggravation. Well, my freedom. Your freedom will become your bondage really quickly. All of us miss this, but we all can look back now, some years later, and agree. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth. You've often heard the term, tell the truth in love. But far more often in the Bible, it says to tell the truth with mercy. And the freedom of that is this. When you're telling somebody, you know, here's the thing. I ain't trying to judge you. But you keep smoking that junk, your life's going to wind up in the toilet. Who are you to judge? Not. I've just seen it happen to other people. And I don't want it to happen to you. That's telling the truth in mercy. Now, some people like to tell the truth with love. Well, if you really want to keep smoking, I totally understand. The last thing I want to do is hurt your feelings. Some people think that's the truth in love, but that's not. Now, there is the truth with brutality, which some people do. You know, if you don't stop drinking, we're not letting you around here anymore. You're a drunk. Just face life like it is. You're a drunk, okay? That's not the truth with mercy. That's the truth in brutality. And unless you want somebody to tell the truth to you in brutality, because I love this. Anytime you point the finger at somebody, you guys all know this one? There's three more. 10? What are you, Shrek? You got to understand. Originally, she's from Jamaica. Yeah. And things are said differently in Jamaica.
It is.
Denmark pinting back at yourself, eh? So be careful when you point your finger. The truth with mercy, if somebody walks away hurt, distraught, like they feel like you've put them down, you can deal with that. But if you told the truth with brutality, just don't be surprised when somebody tells you the truth with brutality. That's all. Okay, nobody standing before God and telling them they're not sinful. Right? What did the Bible say? If God was to number sins, who could stand? Nobody. And if you won't let this mercy and truth forsake you, if you tie it around your neck, if you write it on your heart, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. And what I love about verse 4 in this, it ties into about 10 other scriptures in Proverbs that we're going to get to. And what's really cool about that is we know this. It's really easy to misinterpret the Bible. But what do we know, again, throwing wisdom at us, what is the best interpreter of the Bible? The Bible itself. Not some guy who sits up in a chair and tells you what to do. Not some professor who studied the Bible and they know Greek and Aramaic and Latin. No, no. The Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I can read. What a great statement that is, right? I might not be a Bible scholar, but I can read. Verse 4 is, if you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man for telling them the truth with mercy, well, it put it like this. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. What a great correlating verse. You might tell somebody the truth with mercy and they might walk away offended. But later on, we've seen it happen so many times. I was mad at you for so long. It happens a lot with kids and their parents when they grow up and they have kids of their own and a relationship of their own, and they go, you know, as hard as it is to admit this, you were right about a lot of stuff, and I just want to apologize. And it might take that many years, but he who rebukes will find more favor afterward. Because another correlating verse, if you don't love your kid, you won't spank him. But he who loves his child will spank him immediately. Now, lest I be misunderstood again by this verse, please, spanking in some people's houses is angry and screaming. That's not spanking in the Bible. A spanking is a correction in love with a hug and a Bible verse and forgiveness. So please, there's a big difference between abuse and spanking. However, kids know the one that spanked them is the one that loved them. The one that told them, do what you feel like doing, is the one that hated them. You with me? Don't have to agree. Look at verse 5 and 6. This is one of the more popular verses in the entire scripture. And this is what's called an enigma. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now that's a one you got to roll over and roll over and roll over in the center of your mind for a few days. And then you'll come to this understanding. So if I trust God and not what I think or I feel, but I continue in everything I do to seek him, then he'll direct my paths. Then he'll put me on the path he wants. And the more you read that over and over again, and the more you could apply that, the more you could find that God's in control, that a whole shooting match from the beginning. You understand me? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's pretty straightforward. That sounds like a word to the wise. I know when I was growing up, I hid my foolishness and arrogance. I knew it all. Oh, I know. It was my two favorite. I know. Hey, I know. One of the first things I taught my son and my son-in-law, Austin, listen, a man never says those two words. Those two words don't come out of a man's mouth. Because if you are a real man, you know what you know, that you don't know a darn thing. Nothing. Don't be wise in your own eyes. In jiu-jitsu, I had two teachers. One is Ricardo Laborio. The other is Marcos Tamada. Ricardo Laborio is a grandmaster. He's one of the greatest jiu-jitsu players of all time, and he had three favorite words. His three favorite words were, show me this. Show me this. He wanted to see, oh, I was thinking about a position, show me this. I thought, show me this. Oh, I learned this, show me this. The other guy was, he was a good jiu-jitsu player, and he's a great teacher. But his three favorite words were, that won't work. Oh man, I saw this, that won't work. Now, who do you want to learn from? Who do you think has the, I mean, obviously. Show me this, that won't work. What do you want to be? Show me this. Your kids want to tell you something, man. They're figuring some stuff out. Show me this. Don't be so smart all the time, parent. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Here, although the Proverbs are mostly simple logic that you can apply, in all of them is weaved this supernatural implication. If you take your first bit of what you got coming in and you give it to God, He will take care of everything else. It doesn't explain it, though. I wish you would explain. What do you mean? Honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Well, does that mean net or gross? Start anywhere you want. People ask me that question all the time. We had this guy, he's my UPS driver, and he showed up to church on Sunday. It was a blessing to have him here. I know him since he's a kid. I know him from my old neighbor. His name's Keith. And he shows up today to pick up the packages, and he says to me, he goes, "Hey, notice you guys don't pass a plate around at that church." I go, "Oh, yeah, that ain't my thing, man. I have a job. I don't need the money, and besides, that's between you and the Lord. You want to give God the money, give God your money. If you believe that God gave you what came from him, then you break off the first piece to him." I like that. Everybody likes that. Who wants to go to a place where you're supposed to get fed the word of God and have them, "Come on, come on." And especially when the Bible specifically says God doesn't want you to be coerced into giving your money. He wants a cheerful giver. He wants you to laugh about, "I don't have the money, but here it goes. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." Please, give me your attention. Before we read verse 12, come on back, come on back. Oscar, you're reading verse 12. I saw it in your eyes. You're wearing glasses. Hey, God is going to chasten you, and he will correct you. And here, the first part of this proverb is, don't hate that. Don't hate when God doesn't let you get away with everything you want in your life. Don't hate it when Lady Luck ain't on your side. Growing up, I went to a school called John Adams. It was in Ozone Park, Queens, New York. It was literally a half a mile away from Aqueduct Racetrack. And if we would cut out of class number 8, we can get to the track and catch race number 7, 8, and 9. And if I tell you I had virtually the worst luck a human being could have, if there was 2 horses in the race, believe it, I'm picking the wrong one. And even as a semi-generic Catholic, I would go, "Why do I have such bad luck?" I mean, I've had it where the horse is out front, he's passing, and all of a sudden the jockey just turns around, whack. The guy just hit my horse. And then the horse comes from the outside and passes him. And even though the guy that hit the horse got what's called taken down, I still didn't win because a guy passed on the outside and hit my horse. I remember being so frustrated. Why would God let that happen? It's simple. He didn't want you to get addicted to this stupid stuff. So he, you ready? He peeled back his layer of protection from upon you, and he let the enemy have a little bit. Not that much. Okay, you can do that. Now you guys say, "Oh, you're making that up." Really. I want you to go home and read chapter 1 of the book of Job and see what happens when the enemy, the devil himself, goes to God and says, "Have you considered Job?" Oh, let me reiterate that. It's even better than that. God literally brings Job up to the devil. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Just so happens the devil had been considering him. Yeah. He'll curse you to face. He can't, if you let me, oh, you know Job, do you? Yeah, I know you know Job because I've been watching you. I've been watching you wanting to hurt Job. But here's what I'm going to let you do. I'm going to let you do this, this, and this to Job, but don't do no more than that. You with me? So when it seems like the devil's having a field day in your life, Christian brother or sister, know this. The devil ain't doing nothing that God ain't letting him do. And here's that's called the chastening of the Lord. And what's that old country song? "I'm more thankful for the times that God said no than yes." Does anybody know that song? It's an old country song. Huh?
It's unanswered prayers.
Unanswered prayers.
Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Amen to that. I don't know the song, but I heard about it. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. Wow. Look at verse 13, another word to the wise. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. We're talking about wisdom and understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, he uses the feminine in referring to wisdom and understanding. That's pretty cool. I can deal with that. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now, I want you to see how, and in case you didn't know, maybe I didn't mention, the book of Proverbs is a book of poetry. And in poetry, they use symbolism, metaphors, word pictures. And if you're not used to reading poetry, and you're like, well, that's a little weird the way he did that, it's the beauty of poetry. It's the beauty of poetry. And every man, he wants you to look at wisdom and understanding as a beautiful woman, as something you want to get close to, as something you want to be with, as something that you want to hold tight. Because if you will hold tight to this wisdom and understanding, then all the things he just described you will attain. That's pretty cool, huh? It makes the word, it makes reading the Bible a little more palatable, especially if you've ever started in the book of Genesis and maybe made it somewhere to chapter 38, and this one begat that one, and that one begat that one, and he begat that one, and that one begat that one, and then that one was no more, and you're like, there's a whole lot of begatting in the Bible. And I don't understand any of it. Why would he do that? And then you get to Numbers, and it talks about there was 400,000 in this tribe, and 200,000 in this tribe, and that tribe went this way, and your eyes start to spin. So it's not terrible to read some poetry. Again, length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. You know what? That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Okay, well, how do I go about getting this wisdom and understanding? Ah! Read on, Macduff. That's how. That's how. We talked about that last night in our men's Bible study. We said, what's your plan? Tell me what your plan is. What's your plan? Because if your plan is just waking up in the morning, going to work, going to church on Wednesday and Sunday, that's a bad plan. Your best plan is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Waking up in the morning, getting into that word, spending some time in prayer, and letting God have the rest. Better yet, keep the 10% that you have offered God in the way of finances, and give him 10% in the way of time. And watch God change your life. Because I'm telling you something, without coming off in any way like I want to glorify my past life. But if God can change me, believe me, he can change you. You're not gone too far. You've not lost too much. You've not seen too much. Your hands are not too bloody, nor is your heart too wicked. You've not slept around too much, or stolen too much, or snorted too much, or drank too much. None of those things. God's like, come on, man. I can use you just the way you are. there's a whole lot of people just like you that need me. And they won't listen to that old gray-headed fool behind the pulpit, but they might listen to you. You follow me? You know, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Big word. When you learn discretion, you will unlock the treasures of life you never imagined could be unlocked. Discretion, learning what to say and when to say it, learning what not to say and when not to say it. Discretion, learning how to keep your cards close to the vest and to show them. Discretion, big word, a lot of work. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Now, the question that was begged is raised from verse 20 to 26 is this. When? Like, what if I'm really messed up right now, and I just came in and I heard you say that? Like, how long do I have to, like, keep discretion? How long do I have to, you know, be smart? You guys want the answer to that question? Tonight. That's all it takes. One day. God, I open my heart and I let you inside. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. And from tonight, I want to sleep sweet. I don't want to be afraid of sudden terror. I don't want to worry about gossip and those that have threatened me. Tonight, I want to leave all of it behind. And it begins for you right now. There's no like depth of water you have to swim in. In this pool, you just got to be in up to your toes. Isn't that great? Because it reads almost like you have to, okay, so I got to keep knowledge and discretion. Okay, I got to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Well, there's a lot I got to do here. No. That's the enemy lying to you. You ain't got to do nothing except open your heart to God. Start to read this stuff. If we're going to read through 35 verses, we're almost done. If you will take a half of one of these verses and apply it to your life, are you kidding me? In 10 years, you'll get them all. Not too bad. I'm going to be honest with you. Verse 27 has been a thorn in my side my whole life. The first time I read verse 27 of chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. That ain't to me. That must be to somebody else. Don't understand it. Ain't getting it. Not interested. Blah, 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 blah. Then about the 40 or 50th time, it poked my heart and my heart exploded and I was like, and fighting it too long. This is me. God is talking to me, and it's time for me to make a change. In business, you got to be smart. When you're starting a business, sometimes it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, taking from Paul and paying Oscar, and sorry, I keep using your name wrong. Well, me and my kids, just a couple weeks ago, we finished watching The Odd Couple. I had my kids watch the original Odd Couple. So Oscar Madison's like our favorite character. And when you walked in, he said Oscar, I was like, oh, I love that name. And so sometimes when somebody calls and says, hey, you got that bill? Yeah, I don't got it with me, but I tell you what, check's in the mail. Yeah, it came back. I don't know what happened. Did you change your address? To my shame, I did that. And then as it expounded, and now you might be sitting there saying, look, you haven't read the verse yet. Oh, I will. Don't worry. I don't like that verse. I'm going to read it last. It became not just money. It became words. If you're a man here and you've been through the hard times of life, and especially if your dad wasn't super encouraging with you, somebody does something for you, and in your brain, you're like, watch this. This is inside. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. You did a phenomenal job on that. Thanks for being here. But here's what happens in your mouth. Thanks. Or not thanks, or just, here's your paycheck. And when the Lord hammers this verse, and let me read it to you now quickly. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not withhold good. If you have the power to do somebody good, do it. If you have the power to say something good, say it. Let me tell you something. The hardest guys in here, the guys that don't know how to say I love you, the guys that cannot say I appreciate you, you are the one who can encourage most. Because when a guy like that looks at another guy and says, hey man, you did great. It's like that in jiu-jitsu. And so many of you guys now are in this jiu-jitsu thing with us, so it's great to swim in the same waters with you. But the first few classes, the first few months, everybody's like the same thing. Oh, man, I stink at this thing. It's never going to... Like, listen, you're doing great. You know why? You're here. Most guys don't show up after a couple of days. You're showing up, man. It's a hard road. Jiu-jitsu is completely left brain, just like the Proverbs. I'm saying these things to you, and some of you guys are like, not going to happen, never going to happen, want it to happen, yeah, it's going to happen, you go out there, not going to do it. That's how jiu-jitsu is. Everything you think to do that you do, gets you submitted. Everything you think you shouldn't do, gets you out of trouble. And you're like, this is the worst thing in the world. I'm just horrible at this. And then the next wave of white belts come up, and you start to beat the snot out of them, and you're like, hey, I'm getting better. Not bad. I like this jiu-jitsu thing. But if you don't get past the first few months, same thing with the scriptures, guys. It's going to get in your face, man. It's going to get up in your business. Don't withhold good. Listen to this next verse. It's even worse. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Oh, man, I hate that. I hate that verse. No, I don't hate it. I can't obey it. Check's right here. Here it is. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing I've noticed about this generation. No put down millennials, but back in the 2000s, we had these things called checks. It's a piece of paper that comes in a book. And you have to write it out. Like, who is it to? It's to F, P, and L. $173.22. And if that ain't worse, they ask you to write it out. It's like dying a slow death. 172. I hate writing checks. I hate it. That's why the greatest invention that man ever made, autopay. Love autopay. Love me some autopay. Set it, forget it. But when you're in business, people still want checks. And it's like, I checks. It's like slow death. I'm just watching. I'm like watching my money leave. I'm exaggerating, but does anybody relate to that at all? Okay, you're not the only one. Okay, cool. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. If you are from my neighborhood, you'll know that in the old school New York neighborhoods, there was no space. We had these things called duplexes, triplexes, where you walk in the front door, and everybody walks in the same door, and downstairs is an apartment, in the middle is an apartment, upstairs, and everybody, you live in the same house, basically. It's like a townhouse. Or if you actually could own a house, your neighbor is like this far away. Me, I lived in a building. I lived in what they called a tenement. And I was in a 6-story building, and on each floor, there was about 20 apartments. And you'd see your neighbors all the time. And we don't talk to that neighbor, he's a jerk. We don't talk to that neighbor, she's this. And that was the drama of the neighborhood always. And if I would have known this verse, hey, your neighbors are there for a reason, for safety, whatever it takes, no drama. Well, they play the music. In my neighbor, you see, in my building, if the guy played the music at 4, you heard it. If a guy worked in the middle of the night, he had to get up at 3, 4 in the morning, go to work on a garbage truck, you heard it. Now, guys, this might sound crazy, I don't know, to some of you, I could hear 3 different toilets flush from my house. The guy upstairs flushed a toilet, we heard it. The guy next door flushed it, we heard it. If they were fighting, oh, those are those Italians fighting again. They scream like crazy people. Mom, we're Italian. I'm not Italian, your father's Italian, not me. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Verse 30 has a great implication there. There's an enigma there. There's a little thing there. Now I'm going to throw this little dot at you guys, all right? Now this is a little bit of deep water stuff here. You might not get this for a couple years after reading this, but Matthias, listen in. Some people you're not going to like, and you don't know why. Some people just have a funny way about them. And you might be a little more discerning, you might understand them, you might, their personality just is like, ugh! But some of them, you have a spiritual sense about, there's just an evil about that person. And here, the proverb is saying, I want you to ignore all that. I want you to forget about all that. I don't want you to strive with a man. I don't want you to argue, hassle. I don't want you to do any of that. If he ain't done you no harm, ignore your feelings. Now, this will be the first out of about 1,000 times I'm going to say this over the next year while we study the book of Proverbs. The F word will be shunned, ignored, put away, put down. He will tell you to swallow it. He will tell you to put it in an envelope and mail it away. The F word is an F word. Feelings. Bad news. Bad news, that F word. Avoid that F word. Feelings are not good. You must tell your feelings what to feel and not let your feelings tell you what to do. You with me? Nobody makes you mad. You allow yourself to get mad. Nobody makes you anything. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Now there's a gigantic difference between sense and feeling. I sense the Lord. According to the scriptures, I sense. But if you follow your heart, listen, there's a book called The Satanic Verses. I'm sorry, that's a different book. That was Salman Rushdie who wrote The Satanic Verses. There's a book called The Satanic Bible. And there's a verse in the Satanic Bible that says, this is the whole of the law, do what thou wilt. In the 60s, they said, if it feels good, do it. In the 70s, they said, follow your heart. You will find, as we read all through the book of Proverbs, he who follows his heart is a fool. My son, follow not thine own heart. You will see over and over and over again, don't feel so much. That's how you get your feelings hurt. Your feelings hurt. Ba-dum-bum. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Boy, there's so much there. Ooh. I remember growing up, I was at the racetrack because I liked the racetrack so much and it was so close to school. I would get up early in the morning and I'd go work at the racetrack. I was what's called a hot walker. Does anybody know what a hot walker is? Hot walker? When the horses came off the racetrack, you can't just put them back in the stall. You have to walk them for 25 to 30 minutes so they cool off. And you'd walk them and they have this thing called the shed row. And you'd have the chain and you'd walk the horse around. And that was the thing that the high school kids did. If you want to make some money, you'd go to the racetrack and you'd be a hot walker. And the horse came off the racetrack from training and you'd walk it around and then it would cool off and you'd take it outside and the groom would give it a bath. And Sarah, you didn't know what a hot walker was? Are you kidding me? We've been used obsolete again. Told you this generation. Well, at the racetrack, as you can imagine, there was all different kinds of characters. And as a kid, as a teenager, there was this dude whose name was Juan. And Juan was this skinny little Puerto Rican dude. In New York, there's a lot of Puerto Ricans. And he had a mustache that went out like this, straight down here, and then a line here. It was a Fu Manchu. And I just thought Juan was the coolest dude I ever met. And he talked to me, man, hey, Ryan, come here, man, let me tell you something. Juan was cool, man. I wanted to hang out. Man, Juan, you come over to my house for dinner. My mom will make us dinner, man. Yeah, man, I appreciate that. But Juan was like a junkie, man. Juan was a heroin junkie. And, I could go through the things that, and as a kid, I looked at it, but he just looked so cool and he acted so cool. And as kids, boy, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his. Why is it we look at these, we look at drug dealers, we look at, you know, we watch these movies. When I was growing up, every guy that I knew in the music industry wanted to be like Bono from U2. They dressed like him. At one point, they're wearing leather vests, and they would sing, try to sing like him. We emulate what? And he was so self-righteous. I mean, the dude thinks he's God, I swear. So you become this arrogant person. Like, in my generation in the 70s, me, I wanted to be Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison, man. Jim Morrison was cool. Yeah, hey, you know what? Jim Morrison died at 27. He was cool when he died. And I always remember him as young. He didn't get a chance to grow old. Like in the generation that just passed, all the kids want to be Tupac Shakur. Snoop. Well, you want to be Snoop? Really? Tupac Shakur died at 27 or something like that too. Like, if you emulate what is evil, if you emulate what is, if you want to be like people that are dead, don't be surprised when you wind up dead. You follow me? The curse, oh, look at the end of verse 32. He drops this little nugget in there. But his secret counsel is with the upright. What do you mean, his secret counsel? Guys, if you will walk with the Lord, spend time in his word, spend time in prayer, God will whisper secrets in your ear. Hey, you know that dude? Really? What should I do about that? Pray. Now, some of you guys here are like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's ridiculous. Okay. Don't believe us. And then when you're in church one time and somebody prays over somebody, like, how did you know that? I don't know how I knew that. But here's what it's not. What? What'd you say? Somebody over here? Hold on. The Lord says you have $1,000 in your purse, and if you put $500 in there... Some people use that as the secret. That's not how it works. It's the humility of people who will use this knowledge so well to pray, to seek his face, to help him, to help people. We're at the beach on Sunday night, and we pray for people, and some are like, oh, my goodness, and walk away. Was it 2 weeks ago that dude got saved at the beach? Was it, Vito? Guy got saved. Vero was talking to Vero, and a few other ladies were talking to him. Then he came over. I came here to kill myself. I asked him, you want to receive the Lord as a Savior? Receive the Lord. He said, I can't believe it. His secret counsel is with the upright. Careful. Over here? No. He did what? And here's where we finish. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Verse 35 is the summary of everything. It's the summary of the entire thing. I said this last week. I'm going to say it probably every week. Hey, guys, you either believe it or you don't. It's that simple. The things that I read to you tonight are wisdom from God. They're understanding from God. Words of the wise and their riddles. Anything that touched your heart, anything that I said that you could apply. Maybe I didn't expound on it. Maybe it's a verse before that. I didn't even say anything about it. But wait a second. What do you mean? What do you mean the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked? What does that mean? Ask God yourself. It's a great thing. Because the amazing thing about the book of Proverbs, listen, by the time I finish reading the book of Proverbs, if I started over, we studied this exact same book in a few months, you know what's going to happen? All new stuff's going to come out. All new stuff. Because your life's going to be a different place. Like, some of you guys right now are like, how did he know? How did he know? What? Why would he read that verse? Why would he expound on that verse? What did he mean, alcohol? I don't know nothing about nobody here. Zero. Nothing. The Lord is speaking to you. Don't hang your trip on me, Jack. Just revel in the fact that, wait a second, God is speaking to me. Because if you want to be wise and you learn these things, you'll inherit glory. But if you ignore these things, you know what your legacy will be? What a friggin' fool. This dude was a fool. This chick was a fool. She shunned counsel. She ignored wisdom. She hated correction. Any of the things that we read here. And they're going to say about you when you're gone. And I don't mean gone like as in dead. I mean gone as like when you're not there. What an idiot. She don't listen to nothing. Even now, some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? Don't do it. Who are you talking about? I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about me. Leave me alone. Chapter 4 next week. So much fun. Now, here's what I hope to do, and I told you guys this, and so I want you to stick around. Because when we get through 5 and 6, and it's going to be more of a words of the wise and their riddles and enigmas and less long-form stories, I really want to open it up. I want to make a circle of the chairs, and I really want, hey, who wants to pick up this one? And so I want you guys to be reading ahead, because in the next month and a half, 2 months, man, I don't want to be up here just saying this stuff. Because I'm going to give you my perspective on the book of Proverbs, and believe me when I tell you, it's 3%. And you all got the 97%. You got your percent. Man, you know how the Lord spoke to me? You know how that verse, I just told you, in that chapter, you know what God used in me more than anything else over and over again? Don't withhold good to those who are doing his power. You have to do so. I'm telling you. But what is yours? And that's what I want to hear, and I want those stories. So again, when we get past verse 6, chapter 6 and 7, we're going to circle up the chairs, and I'm going to read them down, and I'm going to call. And I'm going to say, Todd, tell me what that verse means to you. Boom. Dave, what's that verse mean? And that's what I want you to do. So I want you guys to read ahead. I want you to be studied. Next week is the first Sunday? So next week we're going to have a prayer meeting. And as I'm thinking right now, we're probably going to do an afterglow. Asking the Holy Spirit to fall again, because I think we need that. I know I need it bad. But after that, we're going to get back to chapter 4, 5, 6, and then after 7, we're going to do that. We're going to circle up the chairs, and I want you all to be prepared. I'll give you fair warning, all right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the wisdom that you offer us, God. So foolish I've spent my life, God, so thinking I knew everything. And as I read your word, I realize I don't know anything, God, nothing. So please continue to let your wisdom flow through my heart and my mind. God, as David said, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you allow this world to do to us, to do to me. I don't care whether it's my health or my finances. I don't care if it's my family or my friends. I don't care if it's my freedom or my bondage. One thing I ask you, please, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, please. Please. Thank you, God. We all pray this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.